Well, if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of James, and we're going to continue our study in this letter. And what a powerful book this is. Very practical book in the Bible. And if you're like me, it's stepping on my toes. It's going to step on my toes a little bit tonight. And that did as I was studying for this evening's message. And really, you could have a lot of theme names or titles for the book of James. You know, it's about shoe leather, doing the work that God's called you to do. It's about really growing in your faith. And I think tonight really nails down for us the reality of what God calls us to in having a faith that is growing. And I want you to see tonight in James chapter 1, starting in verse 19, we're going to go all the way through verse 25. I want us to see how God uses his word to grow our faith. But when we get to the end of tonight, my prayer is that we'll understand what this text is saying. And it's really convicting, because what the text is saying tonight is that it's about what you and I do with the word of God that God has given us. It says, don't be a person that like looks in the mirror and then when walks away and they don't know what they looked at. And have you ever been in that position before where you get in the word, you study your Bible, you hear a sermon, and I mean you heard it, but then you didn't remember anything about it? You know, it didn't change anything about your life after you encountered that word. And what James is telling us tonight is that when we encounter the word of God and when we study it and read it, when we hear it, if we listen to it, receive it, that it should transform us as we obey the word of God. So let's look at this together. And I want you to see this section really is all about the word of God. Okay? And what you and I do with the word of God. We're going to start in verse 19, but I want you to go up to verse 18. It kind of starts us there. It says in verse 18, by his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Well, we could just stop there tonight, couldn't we? For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. And if you're like me, I want to forget what I saw in the mirror, okay? Because I don't like what I see. But he says, you know, be careful that when you look into the word, that you don't look into it and then forget what you just saw, okay? And so verse 25 says, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. God, we ask you to honor the reading of your word tonight. Teach us, change us, transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this section really is all about the word of God. Let me go back and look at that with you. Verse 18, what does it say there? It says, he gave us birth by the word of truth. What's the word of truth? That's the word of God. Verse 21 says, therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive what? The implanted word. The implanted word. What is that? That's the word of God. Verse 22 says, be doers of what? The word, and not hearers only. Verse 23, once again, we have, it says, if anyone is a hearer of the word. Verse 25, it says, look intently into the perfect law. Okay, all of those places is a reference to the living word of God. And so James is helping us as believers. As he addresses this, we see in verse 19, he's addressing these Jewish Christians, these believers like you and me. And as believers, we have to understand how important the Word of God is for our life to save our soul and also to transform our life into the people God's calling us to be now, so that we can live a life that honors Him, live a life of obedience to Him that makes an impact in this world. So it says all these different times right here in this section, it's referencing and pointing us to the Word of God in this passage, because here's the truth in this passage. A growing faith, and I hope all of us in here want to have a growing faith, a vibrant faith, a faith that's being stretched and getting stronger. A growing faith has everything to do with what we do with the Word of God. Do you understand that today? God has given us His Word. What a gift. He's given us everything we need and everything we need to know. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. Okay, the Bible says you have the Holy Spirit. You have the greatest teacher you can have. If you will submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, yield to Him, and get into the Word of God, God's going to speak to your heart. But here's the deal. God's not calling us to just be simply smarter than everyone else and know all the answers when it comes to the Bible. What God is calling us to is not to just have things intellectually in our mind, but he's calling us, his desire for us is for His Word in our heart to transform us, meaning change the way we live, so that the decisions we make are informed by the Word of God. The things we do, the actions we take, everything is formed by the Word of God in us as we listen, receive, and then do the Word of God. And so growing faith listens to the Word. It receives the Word and it obeys the Word of God. Verse 19, he says, my dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen. I mean, he says it right here. We are called to be quick to listen. That means hurry up and listen. That's what that means. Be quick to listen. Hurry up and listen. What are we to be? What is James telling us to listen to? Well, he's telling us to listen to God. He's telling us to listen to the Word of God, to listen to the truth. And we have all of these voices. We have all of these people and all of these things that are at work to try to pull you and tell you, here's what you need to listen to. But James is reminding us we need to block out all the noise of the culture, block out all the noise of this world, block out everything else, and be quick to listen to what God has to say. We should be running to God, running to His Word. We should be waking up in the morning and saying, God, what do you have for me today? I want to get in your Word. We need to be quick to listen throughout the day. God, speak to me, talk to me. I want to open up your Word. I want to read it in a Bible app. I want to be in your Word as much as possible. God, I want to be quick to listen to you. Oftentimes, we're quick to get on social media. And we're quick to speak. God says, be slow to speak, be quick to listen. Hurry up and listen. Be slow, it says, be slow to speak. Now, I think we probably interpret this in Tennessee, where I was from. It's probably close to the same interpretation here in Georgia, and that's like, shut your mouth, okay? Shut your mouth. I mean, that's what James is saying. Just keep it shut. You know, you think you have so much good to say, you really don't. And everybody around you is thinking, would you just hush? All right? James is saying, listen, be quick to listen to the word. Abide in the word, okay? And don't be so fast to run your mouth. Don't be so fast to have something to say. Meditate, listen. When you're around people, okay, you don't have to be the one that has everything to say. Okay, listen. Be slow to speak. Okay, that's what he's saying here. He's saying everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. And the same is true when it comes to studying your Bible. This is something God's taught me over the last few years that, man, has helped me so much, both in praying and in studying my Bible. I'm so accustomed to I always have to say something. No, I don't. And I think we're all so accustomed to that we try to take and have a little alone time with God, and it gets quiet and we don't know what to do with it. We don't know what to do with it, and we get uncomfortable. You don't have to have anything to say. Listen to God. Hey, if it's silent, good. Just wait upon the Lord. Keep reading. Wait until the Holy Spirit gives you something to say, and He will. And then you'll all of a sudden you'll know what you need to pray about. So it's okay to just pause. It's okay to be in silence. That's something God has taught me. It's okay to be in silence. So sometimes when you sit down to pray, maybe the first 5 minutes you don't say anything at all. That's okay. You sit there and listen to God. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart. And when He gives you the freedom of something to now say, you say that. So I know this is a lot different than maybe what I'm accustomed to. And oftentimes we're so task-oriented, we're just one thing, you know, we're just bang, 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 bang. Listen, we got to give space, and we got to give room, and we got to be able to wait upon the Lord. And He's saying, listen, be quick to listen to Him and listen to His word. Be slow to speak. And then He goes on to say, and slow to anger. Slow to anger, because for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. So keep your anger down. Why? Because it's not going to produce anything good. It's not going to produce the righteousness of God. And that's what God is doing in our lives, is He is leading us in His righteousness. He's transforming us, He's sanctifying us, and we should be looking more like Jesus. We should be living more like Jesus and thinking more like Jesus and speaking more like Jesus and doing more like Jesus, okay? And when we're angry, we don't look like Jesus. How many times has your anger produced something good and positive? Now, some of you in here, you think you got an example of that. You probably are ready to shout it out. But I got news for you. Rarely, if ever, has your anger ever produced anything good and positive. That's just the reality. I mean, how often when you got angry at your spouse, did it help things? It didn't. You didn't win the argument, men. Just because you got angry does not mean that all of a sudden you won the argument. You didn't. You know, when did it help your kids when you flew off the handle and got angry? You didn't keep your anger down. It didn't help your kids any. It didn't help anything. When you got angry at your parents, that didn't help anything when you were a kid. When you get angry at your boss, that doesn't help anything. Now, you might think, well, it's therapy for me. Well, no, what it's doing is causing more resentment in your life. And that anger is going to continue to grow, and it's going to continue to grow, and it's going to continue to grow. And then one day you might do something you really regret, and you might be without a job. You know, when you got angry at your coworkers, that didn't help anything. You could have helped with a solution. Instead, you got angry. It didn't help anything. What about in your church, in your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you think it helps anything when you get angry at people that are your brothers and sisters in Christ? You had a disagreement. You didn't agree with this, didn't agree with that. You think it's okay to get angry in that situation? It's not. That's not what God has called us to. That doesn't help anything. Now I can hear what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, what about my righteous indignation? You know, what about my righteous anger? Let me ask you something. I'm serious. Do you have righteous indignation? Do you have righteous anger? I would say if you do, you rarely do. Now, I'm sure we look at some of the sick and evil things that happen in this world, and we have righteous indignation. And those things happen, but how often in your everyday life are you walking around with righteous indignation? Well, now somebody, you say, well, Jesus had that righteous anger. You know, he went in there and he flipped the tables over and he ran everybody out. Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to say. Jesus could, but I'm not Jesus. So I would just say, be careful about all of a sudden thinking that you can just get angry and all the time just be like, well, I'm righteous in my anger. Be careful that you're not in sin in the anger that you have. Jesus never sinned. And so be careful in invoking that kind of righteous indignation. Listen, you know, Peter, the great disciple of Christ, he was one of those kind of hotheads, wasn't he? He was. In fact, Peter, he was the exact opposite. Maybe this is where James got it. He was the exact opposite of what James says here. When Jesus was being arrested, Peter was slow to listen. He was quick to speak and quick to anger, and he about killed a guy when he cut off his ear. And you know what Jesus did? He said, Peter, what's wrong with you, man? And he healed the man's ear, and he said, put the sword away. Imagine that. There Jesus was being arrested. And once again, we see what James is saying here is, don't be like that. Don't be slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to anger. No, be the opposite. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And so we must what? We must listen to the word. Now let me say one other thing about listening to the word. There's a difference between hearing and listening, I believe. Because sometimes when somebody's talking to me and I just don't agree with them, and I'm like, here's what I'll say. I hear you. You know, you've been there before. You'll say, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. And what you're saying is, I hear you, but I am not listening to this. I don't agree with it. And that's not what God has called us to when it comes to his word. He calls us to listen. To not just hear it, but to be attentive. God, you got my attention. God, I'm listening. God, I want to take this in. I'm all ears. I want to soak it in. Teach me something. I want to learn this. I'm locked in. I'm listening to you, God. That's what it means here when we say listen to the word. Sometimes if you're like me, you'll sit down and read your Bible and you don't listen, you just hear it. I'm there. We all struggle with it. It goes in one ear and out the other. We're not focused. It takes work. God is saying, work on listening to my word. Receive it. That's the next point. Receive the word. We need to listen to it because we need to receive it. It says here in verse 21, therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. It talks here about ridding yourself of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. This is the idea here of throwing off something that is filthy. I mean, think about filthy rags. Think about filthy clothing. You've been out working in the muck, in the garbage. You're dirty. It's filthy. It's nasty. It's smelly. And the only way to get rid of it is to take it and throw it away. Get rid of it. He's saying here to throw off the moral filth. And here's the deal. We know this. When it comes to this moral filth, it says that it is what in this evil that is so prevalent. You see, this moral filth that's around, it's prevalent. It's all around us. Evil and moral filth is all around us. Everywhere we look, everywhere we go, everything we hear in this world is typically pointing away from God and His truth, His moral standard. And it's so prevalent. It was prevalent in the first century. It's prevalent today. It's all around us. Let me ask you something. What is your heart receiving? Think about that. What are you filling your life with? What is your heart receiving? Are you mainly receiving the filth of the world? Or are you receiving the truth of God's word? He says, throw off the filth. Cast it away. Get rid of it. And it's a work. And it's constantly around you. And everyone else out there is taking it in. Throw it off, but receive this word of God. You see, once again, I would say to you that there's even a little bit of a difference between listening and receiving as well. So there comes a point when you're hearing the word of God. And you're listening to it, that God reveals something. He teaches you something. And it's not for you to just know it. It's to transform your life. And you've got to receive it. Kind of like medicine, you know, you got to receive the medicine. Like, you know, the doctor can prescribe it. You can take it and you can put it there on your counter and you have it. But you got to receive it. You actually have to say, okay, I'm going to take this because I know it's going to help me. And so God's word is, you know, you listen to it, but then you've got to embrace the word. You've got to receive the word. You've got to say, God, okay, I understand what you're saying. I know what you're saying. And so I'm not only going to listen to it. It's not only going to be in my head, but I'm going to receive your word in my heart. And I want your word to transform me. Jeremiah chapter 31, such a powerful text of scripture. And listen to what this says in verse 33. It says, instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, the Lord's declaration, I'll put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. See, God is doing something in our hearts. On our hearts. It's the implanted word. It's the word that God has taken and He has put it in our life and He implants it into our heart. And we listen to His word and we say, God, I receive this. Take this heart of stone and till it up into some good soil so that I can receive the word and it would make an impact on my life. I think about Psalm 119:11, which says, God, I will hide your word in my heart. Why? That I may not sin against you. Do you see it? Because God is doing something in us. It's not just for here. It's that something would happen in our heart. That I would hide your word in my heart. Why? That it would change the way I live. That it would do a work in me. okay? Which is what is leading us to this final point, which is if we're going to have a faith that is truly growing, we're going to see that growth really happen when we obey the Word of God. When we obey the Word of God. I mean, you can come to church every day the doors open and listen to every message and read your Bible all the time, but if you do not obey the Word of God, you are not growing. You're not going to grow. Listen to what he says here in James. Verse 22, he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." See, if you're a hearer, but you're not a doer, you're just deceiving yourself in that. If you know the answer, but you don't live it, you're just deceiving yourself. And so he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. We got to be obedient to the word, doing the word, obeying the word. That's where growth happens in our lives. The purpose of the word is to not just simply teach us, but transform us, transform the way we live. So we listen, we receive, and we obey. As I was thinking about this, I was trying to think of, like, how can I put this, and this is probably not going to be the best example, but this is what I got for you. I was like, how could I put this in a way where it might maybe be practical? And so I thought about an experience in my own life when God called me to the ministry, when he called me to preach. I was 19 years old, and I was just like, trying to figure out, here's what I thought, what I kept telling myself was, you're not ready, Brady, you're not ready. So go sit under some great preacher somewhere, you know, go somewhere and just get ready, you know, go get ready. And then I talked to one of my mentors and I told him what was going on. I just said, you know, I know I've been called to preach. I know I've been called to ministry, and, you know, maybe I can start in, you know, student ministry or something like that. But I just really feel like I just need to get somewhere. I need to get under some great preacher, pastor somewhere, and just sit under and just learn and learn and learn. And here's what he said to me. Here's what he said. You'll learn so much more the minute you step out there and start doing what God is calling you to do. That wasn't what I wanted to hear, right? I wanted to, yeah, go sit under this great guy somewhere and just learn, and I'd probably still be sitting there learning. I'd still be saying, well, I'm not ready. There's still more things to learn. And here's the reality. God grows us when we obey him, when we obey his word. And so when we're taking the word of God and receiving it, and God says, he says, do this. You know, help people in need. Take my gospel into the world. Go on missions. Share your faith with someone here in your community. Just tell them your testimony. When God tells you to do these things in your life, you know what God has told you. Where the growth happens in our life is when we obey God in those things. So we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers, obeying what he has called us to do. And that's how God grows our faith, as we yield and submit to him. And let me just say this in closing. This isn't about legalism. You gotta be careful. This is not about works-based salvation. This is not about I'm approved by God because of the great work that I can do, and I want to just please God, and I'm always trying to, like, do something for God because that's the only way he's going to approve of me. That's not what God wants for your life. And if that's what you think, then I just want to encourage you, you need to break loose of that. He wants you to live in freedom, knowing that salvation only comes by His grace through faith in Jesus. And then the rest of your life, it's the work of God, His love and grace working through you, that He accomplishes the great things that He does in and through your life. And so don't take James here as saying that I work so that I am approved by God. No. There's nothing we can bring before God that God would say, oh, thank you for giving me that. That now has saved you. The only thing that puts us in a right relationship with God is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Here's the thing. Obeying the Word of God is all about freedom. Now, I know we're out of time, but here's the deal. God is not calling you to obey the Word of God so that you are restricted or under some type of weight. Don't raise your hand, but have you been there? You know, like, it's a weight. It's a burden to live for God. That's not what God has called you to. That's not what God wants from you. He wants you to understand this tonight, that obeying Him, being obedient to the Word, doing the Word is not a burden, it's a blessing, it's actually freedom. Look at what it says here in closing. It says here, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law. What's the perfect law? That's the Word of God. And what's it say the perfect law is? It says the perfect law of freedom. Freedom. Not of bondage. God didn't save you to put you in bondage. He saved you and has set you free. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. When you obey the Word of God, you actually are going to experience freedom in your life. Don't believe me? Just try it. Okay, just try it. Well, whatever God is speaking into your life as you study the Word of God and He says, here's what I want you to do. Obey Him in it and just see how freeing it is. You say, I've never given financially to the church before in my life. Now, I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd, okay? But you say, I've never given to God financially. I've never given anything to God out of my resources. And I'm understanding that's what God wants me to do. And right now you're thinking, man, that seems like that's going to be a burden. That's going to be bondage. And what you're going to find out is if you'll actually obey what God has called you to, you're going to find it's freedom. It's freedom. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and what will the truth do? The truth will set you free. And so when it comes to James, and it comes to a growing faith, as we seek God, we listen to His word, we receive His word, and we obey His word, there's freedom in that. Let's close in a word of prayer. And as we pray, in fact, I'm going to call on somebody after I pray. I'm not going to call, I'm going to ask for a volunteer to pray for our revival because I don't want to miss that. Okay? Let's pray. God, thank you for your goodness tonight. Thank you for the freedom that comes only through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you have set us free from the bondage of the sin of slavery, from the moral filth that's so prevalent and the evil that's so prevalent in this world that we live in. God, we praise you tonight that you've given us your word that is true and trustworthy and is faithful, God, and that is sufficient for us, God. We thank you for that. And Lord, may we continue to fall in love with your word, that we would listen to it as we read it and as we meditate upon it, that we would that we would receive it in our hearts. And Lord, that we would not only just hear it, but God, that we would be doers of the word, obeying your word, God, that we'd experience freedom through that. God, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Who would like to pray for our revival tonight? I need one volunteer. All right, go for it, Wilburn.